Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Several people sent me the story out of the Detroit Free Press. Ex-Governor Rick Snyder pleads not guilty as nine face charges in Flint water crisis. Steve, Keith, and Caleb sent it to me. And it's unusual for a governor or former governor of the state of Michigan to be facing criminal charges. Very unusual. Other states, not so much. Illinois. But it's not happened in Michigan before. And this stems from the Flint water crisis. So if you're not familiar, or I'll refresh your memory on this, the Flint water crisis was a public health crisis started in 2014, lasted until about 2019, after the drinking water in Flint was contaminated with lead and Legionnaire's disease. Came around the time that Flint changed its water source from Detroit Water and Sewage Department, which they sold the water to Flint, and they also sell it to a lot of other municipalities in southeastern Michigan. They switched to the Flint River. They started using drinking water from the Flint River. If you've ever been to Flint and seen the Flint River, you know you don't want to drink that. If you fell in, you'd worry about your health. Officials failed to apply corrosion inhibitors to the water, and as a result, lead from aging pipes leached into the water supply, and it exposed over 100,000 residents to elevated lead levels. Scientific studies proved that lead contamination was present in the water supply, so the city then switched back to the Detroit Water System in 2015, and then later signed a 30-year contract to get water from the Great Lakes Water Authority. But this all came about because at one point in time, the Flint city of Flint, ran into financial trouble, and they had an emergency manager appointed by the governor, Rick Snyder. And it was under that management that the city switched from the good water supply from Detroit to the Flint River, which, like I said, anybody who's seen the Flint River would know you don't want to drink that. Now, that, of course, is not the problem. You can filter water. But when they decided to do the switch, the people in charge decided to save a little money by not putting in the chemical inhibitors that would have kept this from happening. And once they discovered that it was happening, it took them a while to actually straighten it out and admit that anything had happened. And so there have been lawsuits. I believe there's actually a very, very large settlement recently. But now we're talking about the criminal charges that arise from this. So stories written by Joe Gillen, Christine McDonald, Jennifer Dixon, and also Paul Egan, Detroit Free Press, published it. The criminal investigation into the Flint water crisis burst open in historic fashion yesterday as the Attorney General's office detailed sweeping new indictments against the former governor, Rick Snyder, members of his inner circle, and others for their role in the Flint water crisis. The charges include felony charges of obstruction of justice and extortion against a top aide to the governor, and nine counts of involuntary manslaughter, each against two former state health officials. In all, nine people, most of them former government officials, were charged with a total of 42 counts as part of a criminal investigation into that disastrous switch to use the Flint River instead of Detroit water, which resulted in widespread lead contamination. They were all arraigned on Thursday and have been released after entering not guilty pleas and posting bond. That's all according to court proceedings and the Genesee County Sheriff's Office, Genesee County being the county where Flint is located. Snyder himself, the former governor, appeared in a Flint court Thursday morning, pleaded not guilty to two charges of willful neglect of duty, which is a misdemeanor. So he's facing one of the lesser charges. There are some very serious charges in there, the obstruction of justice and the involuntary manslaughter among them, but willful neglect of duty is one you don't hear about that often. Despite the lower-level charges compared with other defendants, the case against Snyder marks a significant moment in Michigan's political history. Snyder is the first Michigan governor, or former governor, to be charged for alleged criminal conduct while in office. Supporters of Snyder's and his aides decried the prosecution as a reckless overreach, but critics say it was he who should have acted sooner when he knew or should have known there was something terribly wrong with the water that the people of Flint were drinking. Further, he was the one who pushed for an emergency manager law, and he also is the one who appointed the Flint overseers who managed the switch of the city's water supply to the Flint River. And it is Snyder, they say, who has given ambiguous and sometimes conflicting accounts about what he knew and when he knew it. So on Thursday, the state attorney general praised the prosecutions into the contamination of Flint's drinking water supply. There's also a solicitor general who's involved, as well as the Wayne County prosecutor, who had said earlier she had walled herself off from the criminal cases, turning her focus instead on ongoing civil cases relating to the contamination of the drinking water. And all of this, like I said, began over 6 years ago. There's a few unusual aspects to this case, not the least of which is that the evidence in the case was reviewed by Genesee County Circuit Court Judge David Neublatt, who was appointed as a one-man grand jury to investigate crimes related to the crisis. These indictments followed a year's worth of grand jury proceedings. So we haven't talked much about grand juries, and they're very different from regular trial juries. Grand juries are the ones who hear evidence and decide if they're going to, you know, issue indictments and charge people with crimes. Michigan has a mechanism whereby there can be grand juries, but they also have a mechanism for a one-man grand jury. And so they will appoint somebody. It's usually a former judge, but it's usually somebody who's got a lot of time to do this. And they'll tell this person and empower them as a grand jury. And then what they get to do is they can issue subpoenas. They can take testimony, just like a regular grand jury. And then they can decide whether or not to issue indictments. So I can tell you that Judge Neublatt is a highly respected jurist, as we say. And he was acting as a one-man grand jury. He investigated this and came to the conclusion that these indictments should be issued. So there's that. Now, the totality of the Flint water catastrophe may never be known, but the failures of public officials who evaded accountability for too long continue to reverberate through this community, the Solicitor General said. When an entire city is victimized by the negligence and indifference of those in power, it deserves an uncompromising investigation that holds to account anyone criminally culpable. This is what all citizens in the state are entitled to, regardless of their zip code. Now, there were some dramatic moments in the court hearings. For instance, the prosecutors sought to have Snyder ordered to stay within the state, and they apparently hinted that he was a flight risk. And Snyder himself spoke sparingly during the hearing. His only words were, "Yes, Your Honor," in response to the judge's question of whether he lives in Michigan. He did not say where he lives in Michigan, but he was asked, "Do you live in Michigan?" He said, "Yes, Your Honor." So they asked to have his travel restricted, and the judge said, "I'm not going to have him surrender his passport on a misdemeanor charge." And remember, while some people are facing felony counts, the governor simply has been charged with a misdemeanor. That's the willful neglect of duty, a misdemeanor. They had personal recognizance bonds set for most of these charges. The two misdemeanor charges filed today against former Governor Rick Snyder are wholly without merit, and this entire situation is puzzling, his attorney said after the hearing. What's going to happen? And I have a list here of all the charges and who's facing them. There'll be a series of trials. There are 9 defendants. One defendant is the former director of communications and former chief of staff of the governor. He's up on 1 count of perjury, which is a 15-year felony. The former city of Flint emergency manager is up on 4 counts of misconduct in office, each of which is a 5-year felony and a possible fine. The former transformation manager and senior advisor in the executive office of the governor is up on 1 count of perjury, as well as 1 count of obstruction of justice, and again, very serious crimes. The former director of the city of Flint Department of Public Works, 2 counts of willful neglect of duty, both misdemeanors, and a possible fine. The former City of Flint emergency manager is up on 3 counts of misconduct in office. Those are felonies. The former director of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, 9 counts of involuntary manslaughter. Each is a 15-year felony. And 1 count of a willful neglect of duty. Another defendant is the early childhood health section manager at the Department of Health and Human Services, 2 counts of misconduct in office, and 1 count of willful neglect of duty. The former governor, Rick Snyder, 2 counts of willful neglect of duty, and the former chief medical executive at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, 9 counts of involuntary manslaughter. So obviously you have 9 people who died, and the prosecution is alleging that they can link that to actions by the ones who are charged with manslaughter. Now, the willful neglect of duty is the one that a lot of people have asked me about specifically. I've actually gotten several emails from people who said specifically, Steve, what is willful neglect of duty? Never heard of this. Never heard of this. And it's an interesting thing because as you think about it, it will make sense. When you decide you want to get into government office, you want to run for something, you want to be a judge, you want to be a sheriff, you want to be a representative, you want to be a governor, whatever it is, and you win the election, we all know that you are now that role. You get to do that. And there is a moment in time where you get sworn in. We've all seen this. It's coming up. And you get sworn in to be that person. So there's a time frame where there's an election, then they declare a winner, and then a little while later, they swear the person in. The reason I'm talking about that is the swearing in is not simply a ceremonial thing. It's not just that you stand there and you raise your hand, boom, now can, you know, they hand you the scepter. When you swear in, you take an oath, and most people know this, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution. And so if you're in Michigan, you'd uphold the state constitution and the U.S. Constitution. If you're taking a federal office, you're going to swear to uphold the U.S. Constitution. But you also swear to do the duties and responsibilities of the office faithfully. You're going to do your job. So if you wanted to, and you got elected, let's say you got elected to be sheriff. You're now sheriff. And you swear the oath that you're going to uphold the constitutions and you're going to discharge the duties of your office to the best of your ability. And then you went home and sat in your living room and watched TV for 4 years. You aren't doing your job. You're not doing your duty. And so somebody could come by and go, wait, this guy's not even showing up for work. What's he doing? He's not doing his job. Now, I'll admit, there's a bunch of political jokes in here about whether or not politicians are working when they go to work. We don't know about that, right? But many of these people here actually had jobs where they had to do things. It wasn't just simply vote on stuff. A lot of politicians, if they want to, they can show up for 2/3 of the votes and just vote. Yeah, I voted yay, I voted nay, whatever, I voted. But I showed up and voted. Voting's my job, right? But if you are, for instance, in charge of the water system someplace, that's not just a ceremonial post. It has some responsibilities that go with it. And so the story that we're talking about here comes down to a couple basic decisions that were made that appear to be really bad decisions. And so somebody said, to save money, we can stop buying water from Detroit. We can make our own by pulling it out of the Flint River. Again, I don't need to overemphasize this, but the Flint River would not occur to anybody as being a good source of drinking water. Now, again, I understand you can filter water. I understand that. But when they decided to do that and did the math on it, somebody did say, oh, by the way, we should put this inhibitor chemical in the water so that when it goes through the old lead pipes that much of the city is plumbed with, it won't cause problems. And it appears that somebody made the decision, we'll save some money by not doing that. And then it got compounded when people started complaining. And there's no question that people were complaining that the stuff coming out of their taps looked like it was coming straight from the Flint River. That would scare you, okay? You can tell people all you want about how that water's been filtered. And they're gonna say, how could we filter when it looks like this? And there are famous pictures that showed up in the news where people came to city council meetings and political events and held up jugs of water that had come out of their taps. And they go, would you drink that? Would you bathe in that? Would you shower in that? And they're like, oh, we'll get back to you. And I know that as this story unfolded, the people of Flint had a hard time getting anybody to believe them because they're complaining to Lansing. They're complaining to local officials. Nobody seemed to believe them. And I read an article where a woman took some samples of the water that came out of her tap and she sent it to a guy who is a university professor out of state and said, this stuff comes out of my tap. No one believes me. It's bad. Could you test it? And the guy ran tests on it, and he thought somebody was pranking him because the numbers were so far off the charts on bad things in the water that he actually called the woman and said, are you serious? This came out of your tap. She said, yes. He came to Flint, ran some more tests, and he was one of the people who screamed and yelled about this. And eventually, a bunch of people screamed and yelled about this because lead in drinking water is extremely dangerous and bad. So later, people did admit that mistakes were made, and they were making the argument that, well, we're humans, we make mistakes, and making mistakes as a human, that's what we do, you know? And generally speaking, if you make a good faith mistake, where you just, you're required to use your judgment and you made a mistake, you picked the wrong one, oh, that turns out I was wrong. That's generally not a crime, but the argument here is that as this thing was unfolding and the people were trying to figure out what was going on, there were allegations being made that the warning flags had gone up early enough to stop a lot of the harm that happened, and that the early warning flags were ignored. And then I believe there's also some allegations that when they started to investigate this, some people were not completely forthcoming with how they cooperated. And I did notice that in those lists of allegations, a couple of people were charged with perjury. So, you know, we'll see what happens because we don't know where that perjury arose. The perjury may have arisen because of people testifying in front of the grand jury. So that might not be good. But the misconduct in office is generally going to be, or willful neglect of duty. The fact that when these people were sworn in and swore to do a job, to do their duty, that they didn't do their duty, and they didn't do it to the point that it rose to a level of criminality. So I will remind you that all nine of these people, the former governor included, are innocent right now because you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And until that moment in time, you're innocent. So it might be that all these people will be exonerated. It might be. But we'll have to watch and see. This one's going to make a lot of headlines. And so I will follow this and update it. But the landmark here is simply the fact that a former governor of the state of Michigan has been charged with a crime. The crime is a misdemeanor, but that is a first for us here in Michigan because generally speaking, our politicians, at least the state level, are quite good. So ex-governor Rick Snyder pleads not guilty as nine face charges in the Flint water crisis. From the Detroit Free Press, Joe Gillian, Christy McDonald, and Jennifer Dixon wrote it along with Paul Egan, who contributed, and it was Steve, Keith, Caleb, who sent it to me. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. A noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.